Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. You know, we have a body and we have our spirit. And for most people, our bodies have been relegated to the third dimension, to something to drag around in spite of our spirituality. You know, maybe we can plot ourselves down in meditation or even use our bodies in yoga. It's very nice, very helpful. But what does it have to do with our deep connections to the universe? And we can learn that through yogis and through people who actually use their bodies as sacred temples. So we would like to know more about that. How come our bodies don't speak to us the way our minds do or our consciousness does about spirituality? We're going to learn more about how our bodies work to connect us to the heavens. And therefore, there's a book called Hardwired to Heaven. And the author is a guest on the show now, and I'm so happy that she can join us, Joan Serio. Joan, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you for having me today.
Sure. I'm so glad that we could talk about this hardwiring, because our bodies are hardware. And people don't realize that that hardware actually works with software. And, you know, certainly our brains can tell our arms to move and our fingers to, you know, to write with and whatever. It's not quite the same as we're going to be talking about. You've really looked at the deeper constructs of the way our physiology works with the energy field, works with higher consciousness and higher dimensions. And the more we know that, the more we can use our bodies to become more highly spiritual and even more intentional even. How about that? So, Joan, where shall we start in understanding how sacred our bodies are?
Well, where we start all the time at the heart of the matter, with the heart.
Okay. You know, and we always tell people, if you want to know what you want, ask your heart. It's got to be in the heart. If it's in the mind, it might lead you astray. But our hearts offer us truth. So how do we find that in the heart?
Well, as I see in the book, there's this very special place in the heart that ancient religious traditions have talked about. The Upanishads, ancient Vedic texts, talk about a place in the heart that connects you to the sun and the moon, to everything that there is. The Sufis, the Hindus talk about a secret chamber where man and God come and commune. And what I call that place is the sacred forehead.
Is the what?
And
I didn't hear that correctly. What was it?
The sacred coordinate.
The sacred coordinate. Okay. That's nice to have in our hearts. Where do we find our sacred coordinate?
Well, it's physically within us, and it's outside of us. It's metaphysically. It's interdimensional, too. So within us, in our heart, if you look, we have a four-chamber heart. So there's two upper and two lower chambers, and there's some tissue that separates them, and so it kind of forms a cross. And then outside us, there's also the unified field, and it's a spiraling grid, and as any grid, there's an X, Y axis. There's a point on that grid that's defined by these lines coming together and crossing. So that point within your physical heart, where these lines of this tissue meet, that X, Y axis there, corresponds to the one that's out within the unified field. And so that's our hardwired connection to the heaven, to source, that point.
Right. It's considered a node because it's the intersection of the horizontal and the vertical in the center of the heart. And it actually reminds me, I don't know if you're familiar with the human design system, but it calls the heart chakra the G-center. Well, I call it the heart chakra. They just call it the G-center, but it's where the heart chakra normally is. And they say that defines our personality. It it's where we know ourselves and we have a sense of belonging and direction in life. And so there's a lot of synchronicity between these different systems.
Mm-hmm. And it's through this place that we can truly know who we are, because our essential selves are connected through this point. You know, our essence was derived, I feel, from this place on the grid, and that's your connection. And no matter what lifetime you're in, you still have access to download from that point on the grid.
Right.
So,
and that's
definitely.
Right, that's an essence point. And yet, so many people think of other aspects of our energy field as connecting to higher sources, for instance, our crown chakra, maybe our third eye.
Mm-hmm.
And so the heart doesn't sit alone as a master function in our system. It actually works synergistically with many other parts of our energy field and our physiology.
Of course, yes.
And so let's move up to the head area. There's a lot going on up there. I mean, that's where we think, and that's where we think we know ourselves, even though our heart is a deeper place to know ourselves. And so there's a lot going on, and actually in our whole system, we're a conveyor of consciousness. Our whole system conveys consciousness, and perhaps that's why it works so well on a number of different levels. And you talk about that in the book, about water being a part of our blood, and there are properties to water that, because it's in our blood, then there are properties to our blood. Can you explain those properties?
Well, first of all, I feel water is the medium through which the language of light is written. So it's through water that we're able to transfer information from the unified field throughout our body, or throughout anything. Wherever there's structured water, I feel there's consciousness. And you're right, there's consciousness throughout the body. It's constantly in communication. Every part's constantly in communication with every other part. The blood is really sacred, though. Because in my research, I found that there are those that, in the metaphysical community, that say that consciousness is in the blood, or that when we raise our consciousness, our blood becomes golden. Now, why is that? Why would you say that? If you look at a red blood cell, it's shaped like a torus. And if you look at the heart's electromagnetic field, it's shaped like a torus. If you look at the Earth's magnetic field, it's a torus. If you look at the shape of the unified field, it's a torus. We have this mirroring of the field within us. And the red blood cells within them have an iron molecule in the hemoglobin. And because of its structure, it creates four bonds. But you still have the cross, or that sacred cord, mirrored even within the red blood cell. And because the blood is 90% water, just about 90% water, and because blood is a good electromagnetic wave guide, meaning it can carry these frequencies throughout the blood, that whatever the heart's electromagnetic field picks up, because it's the strongest in the body, think of it like an antenna. And if you are a radio station, you'd probably pick up a signal that's the magnetic field is 5,000 times stronger than the brain's, and its electric field is 60 times stronger. You're probably going to pick up that signal versus the brain. And so this information comes in through the heart first. This is why the heart knows so much more than we can, we think we know in our brain. This is what I feel, and it comes in, and when it comes in, that frequency of light gets imprinted into the water, because water holds memory, and then it gets transferred in the blood. Being a good electromagnetic wave guide, it takes it through the body, and then through studying Stuart Hammerhoff, who's an anesthesiologist, has done a lot of research on consciousness, and through other of his colleagues, they say that the consciousness is coherent light, and that it can get transferred through these microtubules, which are like a little skeleton, you know, these protein filaments within a cell that can vibrate and devibrate, and they can become coherent or vibrate in harmony and transfer information. But what's interesting about them is that there's water inside them, and they're shaped like a hexagon inside. And water, if you look at Dr. Emoto's work, if you take when he took the pictures of a frozen crystal of water and look at a snowflake, shaped like a hexagon. So it's interesting that that's the shape, and that's how the information can get imparted. They call it super radiant, because water is a polar molecule. And it can form like a dipole moment, so it's lining all its polar head. So it makes it like, you know, flipping a switch on a light. You know, it opens up the circuit, and boom, the light comes on.
So we need to be very responsible for our hearts, since our hearts are so much more powerful than our brains. And also in manifestation, that's why it's understood that feeling is very important. We need to express feelings of what we desire, of who we are, of our happiness. And that influences our blood, influences the structure of our blood as a conveyor of water. And the more that we can enhance that, the more our body knows itself through the heart better in terms that we're responsible for. So we have to work on that and allow ourselves to live more harmonically and happily. And then we can do things for even our water. I've done radio shows on double helix water, which allows water to carry more information.
Mm-hmm.
And also on structured water units, that when you pour water through them, they align the molecules much more purposely and in columns, actually, the molecular columns, so that it flows through your body and into your cells much quicker and more efficiently. And so if we can enhance the water in our body to work better in what it's good at anyway, and then work with our hearts to provide this positive intention, the sky's the limit.
Or not.
Right. So
yeah. Then it is not. There is no limit then.
Right, exactly. And the limit we all have is really our minds and our belief systems, mm-hmm, of limitation. And it's hard to overcome, because we look around us and it reinforces limitation. Life,
mm-hmm,
life is three-dimensional life is very limited in so many ways, and our society mirrors that. And so if we let that be our judge, most people are unconscious, and we can lose it. We can lose our own consciousness unless we hold intention to be true to ourselves. And so that this book is really helpful, and it's very inspiring, because it really helps to see how we process, to see what it is in our hardware that we need to be responsible for. And then later in the book, and we'll talk about it in a little while, you go into ways that we can connect with the universe and consciousness and higher ways to empower ourselves. And I really like the way you bring it all together. So I do want to look at a few other physical aspects. And one that has become very prominent in my awareness recently, keeps coming up in teachings of others and awareness in my own consciousness, is the pineal gland. And you talk about that a lot in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we need to know about the pineal gland?
Well, the pineal gland is where we connect through that area into the heart. if we don't activate this and awaken this and awaken our inner sight, then we have no way for the heart to see, kind of like, you know, let's look at this analogy. I call it the periscope of the heart.
I love that. I mean, I agree with that totally.
Yeah, and, you know, and when you can't deny some of these things that you keep finding, especially when they're symbols. You know, there's so much information that comes from a symbol. Words just can't put into that. So when you look at a crystogram, and there's the X, but it looks like St. Andrew's cross. It's kind of on its side, and then there's a center line, and then there's a loop on the right. Well, it looks like a P. It looks like a periscope, and that's really what's happening, because when you activate the pineal gland, and there's been some research done, and, you know, we're still learning a lot of this stuff. Things are just unfolding now. But when that gets activated, that I feel you can enhance that sacred coronet and kind of project it out, looking like that crystogram. And so you can see now through that area. And, of course, the pineal gland, which many of us know, one way to activate it is through the kundalini. It could be activated through meditation, which a lot of us do. Near-death experiences, you know, if you've ever talked to anyone that had a near-death experience, a lot of them are very open. And they can, you know, they become more psychic, they have more psychic abilities and all. Or we can do this ourselves by chanting, because it does activate through vibration. And so when people meditate and they chant Om, if you chant anything that will vibrate the cranial bones, that will help to activate the pineal gland. And when we do that, we open up this channel, which I call the heart, high heart, pineal gland channel. And that's where the USB cord, if you will, from heaven comes down, so we can connect it into that sacred cord in that special place of the heart. And by activating the pineal gland, you're creating the energy that's needed to power that cord. Because if you don't have enough juice in your computer and you're plugging something in, it's not going to power that through the USB. So you need the power to do that, and this pineal gland activation is the power to do that.
There's a whole system going on here. And let's add, just out of the blue, let's add gold to it.
Yeah.
What happens when you add gold?
Well, when you add gold, you know, like it was said, that in Masters in the Spiritual Path, Elizabeth Blair Prophet says that when you ascend, your blood becomes golden. And it's interesting, the connection between gold and the pineal gland, because there are some that take monoatomic gold to open up the pineal gland. So what is this connection? And when I did some research with it, I did see that there's a form of gold that could be soluble within the blood. And then just looking at what gold is, why has it been sought after? What makes it so important? And its properties. And that when we reach the state, my theory, is that the gold within the blood can kind of, it weaves a web of gold, you know, because of the unique properties of gold. Its electromagnetic properties, it's inert in certain ways, so it's able to carry, again, this frequency. And why is that? Well, there's a hermetic axiom, as within, so without, as above, so below. So, okay, I looked at the mandorla around the Virgin Mary, or the halo around Jesus, around, you know, the disciples and all, saints. Why is that? Why do we become, and it's always golden. Why is it gold? Or we see gold coming out of the heart. As within, so without. So if you're golden on the outside, you must be golden on the inside. And that's part of where the gold came in. And how I was guided to write about the gold was actually I was staying in Gold Beach, Oregon for a while. And that's when all this information kind of came through. That's part of how gold fits in with the blood and the pineal gland.
Yes, and years ago I came into contact with some monatomic gold that was from some volcanic ash out by Mount Shasta. And I had quite a long period, maybe a year and a half, where I was really dosing up on this monatomic gold, and it really shifted my consciousness powerfully in those days. And I was feeling energy and seeing and knowing things and understanding things that I couldn't have, I don't think, before that without the initiation from the gold. And you had the same experience at Gold Beach.
there must
be a reason why it's called Gold Beach. So there are.
Yeah, there was gold.
Yeah, there is gold around, especially the monatomic gold that comes a lot from volcanic ash, because it does take huge amounts of heat to create this material.
Exactly.
And you talk about. You include gamma rays in that understanding.
Yes, yes. It was found that during these gamma ray bursts that gold is produced. So these things don't happen that often. So that's one of the reasons why gold is so valuable. Yeah, there was a team of astrophysicists that found that these short gamma ray bursts produced massive amount of gold, and that's where all the gold originated in the universe, they're thinking. So, these supernova events that don't happen too often, that's what produces the gold.
And so our job is to connect to gold, and of course, it's harder when gold is much more expensive because it is such a divine quality.
Mm-hmm.
So now, let's just say that we agree that our hardware is powerful and connects us to the software. And then how do we take responsibility for that? How do we live our lives to manifest in ways that reflect our deepest open heart?
Well, taking responsibility first is awakening to the God that you are, and doing, a lot of these things that we've talked about by activating the pineal gland and following your heart and knowing what that is. And, the heart isn't always logical. Let's put that out there. It'll ask you to do things that your brain is saying you've got to be crazy. But it's that knowing and that feeling and that following, first and foremost. And then what's at the heart of everything? What's at the heart of your heart? Why is it shaped the way it is? Why is the pineal gland shaped the way it is? Well, we can talk about the physics of it, but we can also talk about the golden mean and about love. And love is God's architect. And love is the guiding principle throughout anything. And so when you, through your heart, connect with that love and that self-love above all, because if you can't love yourself and fully accept yourself, it's hard to love and fully accept others. And by doing that, and being enthusiastic about who you are and living the truth of who you are, then you really do become magnetic. You do attract things to you. Those are the keys.
And you also have some very nice opportunities in the book to express ourselves in a way that connects us deeper with the higher consciousness of the universe, and there are different chants that you like, and give us a for instance.
What did you say? I'm sorry,
what chants are you, how can we manifest more power in our spirituality by using certain sounds or names or, because you go into that, and I found that very agreeable, what you were saying.
Yeah. Well, there's one chant that I give in the seven steps manifesting using your heart's electromagnetic field, and that's using the word Ram. It's an Aramaic word meaning a shining light and a radiant love.
So that's Ram. So, R-A-H-M.
Right. M, yes. So if you break it up and you chant the Ra and then if you put your hand, left hand on your heart and your right hand on your forehead and you chant Ram, Ram, you're going to feel your heart, your chest vibrate first and then your head. So what this does, it sets up an oscillation between the heart and the brain and brings those into coherence.
Right. And my sense is to find a tone when you say it that resonates within yourself. You know, there's a way that we we each have our own sounds that we make that are our personality, really, and our deeper consciousness, too. It's a vibration. And we can go, and find a tone that we feel really resonates with us, and then say Ram in that tone. I have a feeling that might even go deeper.
Yes, yes. Because we do have our own heart song, if you will.
Yes, exactly.
Our own unique vibration, which is sound, and yes, that will definitely enhance it.
Right. Well, there's so much in your book, Hardwired to Heaven, and I really enjoyed it. As I said, it's very inspiring. I feel much more conscious of so much of what you were saying, to use it in my life, to be that way, to be in my consciousness of the heart, certainly be responsible for it, and then connect it to the pineal, and understand the use of how we're imprinting water in our blood to speak truth to our whole body. And so our body can reflect that harmony and that grace that we project from our hearts. So this is very powerful. So Joan Cerio, C-E-R-I-O, how can people reach you?
You can go to my website. First one is joancerio.com. That's easy enough to remember, J-O-A-N-C-E-R-I-O. Or the name of the book, hardwiredtoheaven.com. You can reach me there.
That's great, because I think we can all get so much out of knowing our hardware better, taking responsibility for it. So, Joan, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew and helping the world know itself better.
Oh, well, thank you, Peter. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, and mine too. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at prn.fm. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening. Thank you.